15 years ago, Massachusetts had nearly no large-scale solar power. Now our small state ranks 11th in the nation for the amount of electricity generated from the sun. But much of this solar boom has come at a cost, cutting down forest or covering workable farmland. WBUR's Barbara Moran reports a new study argues that it doesn't need to be this way.
What's been good for solar in Massachusetts hasn't always been great for trees. That's what Clark University geographer John Rogan found when he mapped where solar farms have been built in the state.
What we found broadly is that half of all ground solar in Massachusetts over the past 15 years resulted in forest loss. I think it comes to 7,000 acres or so.
And there's more solar coming. By mid-century, the state wants about 8 times more than it has now in order to cut its carbon emissions. But can it cut emissions without cutting down so much forest?
We actually can do both. We can do the solar that we need, and we can hold on to a lot of the nature and working lands without sort of sacrificing them.
That's Mass Audubon's Michelle Mannion, co-author of a new report with Harvard Forest. The report says there's plenty of room for solar on rooftops and on polluted sites like landfills and brownfields. There's widespread public support for this idea, but developers say it's not always so easy in practice. For example, Massachusetts leads the country in covering landfills with solar panels, but that means there's few landfills left for solar development. Andrew Tomagian is with Sunbug Solar.
Most of the viable landfill and brownfield sites in Massachusetts have been explored and developed. Like, it's a, you know, not a completely saturated market, but it's not a spot where we have a ton of undeveloped sites for solar at this point.
So what about covered parking lots? Those seem like a solar panel no-brainer. But most of those roofs weren't designed to catch sunlight. They may be angled the wrong way or need stronger supports to hold electric gear. Lawrence Cook works for solar developer Pure Sky Energy. He says, in addition to those costs, there's another challenge with parking lots. All those people driving around.
You need to have all the protection around the posts so that people don't drive into them. You need lighting for security, and it all just adds up. And it's not just a little bit more, it is significantly more, almost prohibitively so in most cases.
It is more expensive to put smaller solar projects in more complicated sites. Cutting down forests for a big solar farm is usually cheaper. But report co-author Jonathan Thompson says those cost estimates don't include the full value of forests.
Forests directly absorb carbon from the atmosphere. That's what photosynthesis is. So they are a technology for carbon removal.
Thompson, the lead ecologist at Harvard Forest, says that when you account for the land's carbon storage value, preserving nature actually saves money in the long run.
But we also need to remember that forests are far more than buckets of carbon. They are providers of clean air and clean water, and they are home for just suites of biodiversity.
How to value these benefits remains a policy puzzle. The report authors say the state could do things like require developers to pay for the carbon and biodiversity lost if they chop forests down, or subsidize rooftop development even more. The state is already doing some of this, and it's designing new incentives, which it hopes to roll out next year. But it's unclear whether any new policies can both protect nature and achieve massive solar development in just a few decades. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Barbara Moran.